Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Today on the show, we have Cole Manbeck at 5'10". He had to take an entire day to cool off from how upset he was about what happened in Lawrence. So we're bringing him on today. He's very eager to get some things off his chest. Of course, we have Brady's Cover 5 award-winning radio at 4:40 and Around College Basketball at 4:25. Plus, I should mention this too, an hour or two of the show, you're going to get an admission on the travel from someone that we haven't really heard from on that front yet. 537-1350, 866-776-1350, of course, to call the show. You can also tweet questions to the game, KMAN, if you've got them. I hope that today we have all traveled in our minds away from what happened on Tuesday, and we're ready to move on and continue pushing forward. Don't look at Mitch. He wasn't paying attention. He didn't hear that awful joke. See, that was a bad joke. You make fun of me, but it was kind of on purpose. That was a bad joke.
Okay.
This is your one chance. This is the one. We did like all travel jokes yesterday, and they were funny. I really enjoyed some of them, but this is your one chance before we actually get into moving on from this, which is the topic of really the main point here today that we're going to discuss this opening segment, K-State basketball moving on from what happened on Tuesday. We've got to move on too. So if you have one last travel joke that you want to get off your chest and get out there, now is the time.
Well, I'm sorry that I couldn't come up with a travel joke sooner. I don't normally think three steps ahead.
Ah, see, that was pretty clever.
Okay, thank you.
That was clever. Mitch, do you have one final travel joke that you would like to divulge here? You actually were not here yesterday when we did a bunch of them.
No.
You've got nothing.
You should have given me advanced warning here.
How are you feeling today? 1 to 10, how are you feeling?
It doesn't sound like he's feeling very well.
About a 4.
Toughen it out. Appreciate that. All right. Today on the Big 12 teleconference, which has been moved to Thursdays, interestingly enough, normally, you know, these things are fairly low-key, nonchalant. There's not a ton of great information. Today there was actually quite a bit, and we'll get to some of it at 5:25, which is a couple people commenting on it about the travel situation. But look, K-State's got to move on, and Bruce Weber apparently has because he was out recruiting and was not on the Big 12 teleconference. Instead, Chris Lowry, associate head coach who we had on our show yesterday and on our airwaves yesterday. And I mention this only because he was asked about moving on a couple different times, really a couple different ways. How do you move forward from basically a moral victory? I mean, as close to a moral victory as they come in Allen Fieldhouse, losing 90-88 and losing in such heartbreaking fashion, I think is the other part of it. Not just you lost the game, not just you lost the game on a last-second shot, but you lost the game on a last-second shot that shouldn't have counted, and so there is every reason in the world to feel extremely, extremely slighted by what happened. And I think you did gain a lot of respect from people in that game and in that matchup, but now comes the hard part. That is parlaying what happened into a good Big 12 season and into an NCAA tournament season. Bruce Weber flipped the switch and flipped that page pretty quickly after the game with his comments. He seemingly has the right attitude about it, and frankly, he should and he needs to. He's the leader, and he needs to be the guy setting that tone because he's the guy that's butt is on the line here if things go awry and you have another poor Big 12 season. You know, we've seen in recent years K-State get a really nice boost from either a win or in a couple cases a quote-unquote moral victory, and they haven't been able to turn that into anything very special. And Chris Lowry was actually the one that brought that up and got me thinking about it.
Last year, our freshmen, when we lost in North Carolina, it took 2 weeks to get them back. You know, they really melted down, and we couldn't get them back. And when we get a big win against Oklahoma, then we don't compete the rest of the way like we need to. But this group, we lost a tough one to Maryland and then bounced back and got what we needed to get mentally. You know, I think going through stuff last year really helped this group to be able to bounce back and move forward.
Think about that. Is there a game in recent memory that compares better than that North Carolina game last year to what K-State just did in Allen? I mean, I think obviously the Allen Fieldhouse effort is slightly more impressive because you were on the road in that venue. But as far as teams are concerned, I mean, North Carolina is a top five team last year. And while they were missing one of their really good players in Marcus Paige, K-State was also thought of to be worse than they are this year, and that was almost equally as surprising to me, at least, if you took me at that time and me at this time of the game and Allen, it was equally surprising to me that they hung with them as well as they did. They had the lead at the under four timeout, and then it all went awry and they lost. But a very similar situation. That North Carolina game created kind of a new expectation for the team last year. It had all of a sudden raised where people thought they were going to be, and then they lose five of their first six Big 12 games, and it just became moot at that point. You had some good feelings and some good vibes, but it didn't carry over. The challenge now becomes make this one actually work in your favor and keep it going.
I think that there are a lot of factors that are working in K-State's favor here that are not necessarily K-State. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with them. It's just some benefits from the way the schedule falls because, number one, at least from my perspective, I would prefer for this to be a Tuesday to a Saturday turnaround versus vice versa. I think that having more time off is a positive thing, not just because of getting over it mentally, but you're talking about a team that isn't very deep and just played a really back-and-forth, pretty physical game against KU that probably needs to get their legs back under them again, in addition to recovering mentally from all this. So I think having a couple extra days off is a positive. I also think that the opponent that you're going to be playing is the perfect kind of opponent because they aren't very good, but they do have the name in the jersey to get you fired up a little bit. This is the program of Buddy Hield and what they were able to accomplish last year. You've got a former Wildcat coaching them in Lon Kruger. I think that is a team like a Texas that you can get up for. They just happen to not be very good this year and be missing their best player right now in Jordan Woodard. So I think those combination of things make this a nice setup for K-State to have a good turnaround and get back on the winning track.
I agree for the most part, but it becomes about more than just this one game. You know, you're going to have a huge week next week with Texas Tech and Baylor, and the entire league schedule is setting you up to play a whole lot of close games. And that was the issue in the bugaboo last year, not being able to get over the hump in close games. And what do we have this year? You have 12 wins against bad teams, and you have two razor-thin losses to a pretty good team and a very good team. So the jury's still out on whether or not you do get over the hump in some of those games. You know what I mean? The Kansas game would give you a lot of indications that you're playing at a higher level, therefore you should win more of those games. But I think the Big 12 also has – it's not quite as bad at the bottom this year because Texas and Oklahoma are the two teams at the bottom, and they seemingly have the talent to keep them in some games and perhaps get better by the end of the year. So the gimmies out there are non-existent almost in the Big 12 this year right now. So that's going to make things tougher, and it's going to force you to be focused more day in and day out. And that seemed to be, at times, an issue last year, as Chris Lowry just mentioned there. He also brought up briefly the Oklahoma game in addition to the North Carolina game, and that was similar because the Oklahoma game, you know, is the number one team in the country. No one expected them to win. They did, and at that point in the season, it put them back on the bubble. As ridiculous as it sounds, they were 3-7 in the league and 14-9 overall, but it put them back in position to really do something because they had Baylor at home and at Oklahoma State up next. Very winnable games, those next two. What'd they do? They went out and lost them, and it didn't matter, ultimately, that you beat Oklahoma last year. So you have to be able to parlay those. You have to be able to look at this Kansas game at the end of the year and say, that was when they arrived. That was a big turning point because then they proved that they could hang with teams, and they kept it going and actually started winning some games. If things go poorly, we're not going to really look back at the Kansas game all that much. You know what I mean? How much do we sit here today and talk about the Oklahoma win from last year? We really don't. I mean, that's the first time I had really been conscious of it in a long time was Chris Lowry bringing it up. You can't let that game fade into the darkness like that. I know it wasn't a win, but we need to have it at the end of the year be like, that was when we knew that this team was legit and this team was for real.
The logic on this sounds totally backwards, but stay with me here for a second. I think that K-State can be better prepared for the Oklahoma game by looking ahead to what they have next week. I think that you have to look at that Oklahoma game as a security blanket in case things don't go well next week because you're going to be playing a Texas Tech team that is better than you expected them to be and one that honestly may have some top 25 votes coming up in the next poll. I mean, they really have looked very nice in their first two Big 12 games. And then you're going to be hosting, in all likelihood, the number one team in the country next Saturday against Baylor. I think that if you're a K-State player, you're looking at that and saying, well, yeah, we're going to plan on winning those games, but if we don't, that makes it all the more important that we hold down or we hold serve and hold down our home court against Oklahoma this weekend, because games against this caliber of opponent in Oklahoma without their best player and already not being that great of a team, you just don't have very many of those games in Big 12 play.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. Jordan Woodard, Oklahoma's best player, has been out for three games. Doesn't sound like he's going to be available again for Lon Kruger and company. We've got Lon Kruger speaking to that later on in the show. But I think a better way of what you're trying to say is basically you just can't afford to drop this game.
No.
And that should be motivation enough. And there are a lot of positive signs here. And I think the main point of this, obviously, is that you got to go out and start actually putting some games in the win column. There are signs that they're reacting the right way. Chris Lowry is saying the right things as far as that is concerned. Bruce Weber has done and said the right things, and I think that typically is going to trickle down. They're a year older, all those guys that were around last year. So many young guys were playing a season ago. I think just having a year under their belts, knowing how hard it is, obviously helps you as well. But you still have the disrespect card to play, and that brings me to the other part of this. Yes, you had some nice things said about you, and I think you raised some eyebrows with what you did in Allen. When you don't win that game, that fades pretty quickly. And even after just 2 days here, you're not in Joe Lenardi's bracketology that was released today. There's a disrespect card still for you. I would assume Joe Lenardi's aware of what happened in that game, and you're 12-2 right now, 1-1 in the league, just hung with Kansas and lost on a shot that shouldn't have counted at the end of the game. You're still on the outside looking into the tournament. That should tell you two things. One, you still haven't earned enough respect. And two, there is a ton left to accomplish. And this can't be the end. It's got to be the beginning.
And I think the signs that K-State was handling it the right way came 10 minutes after the game. You know, it's not just what we're hearing now and what the players' reaction has been on, like, social media over the last couple days. I thought that the way that Bruce Weber answered questions immediately after the game was very well handled. I thought the way that DJ Johnson answered questions about the officiating after the game was exactly what you would want to hear from players that understand that they had an opportunity taken away from them, but that they have 16 more opportunities before we get to postseason play.
Coming up in hour two of the show, hear from a couple coaches on the Big 12 teleconference who weighed in on the speed travel at the end of the game. But coming up next, we've got Around College Basketball. Your plans next Saturday just got a little more exciting. You're listening to The Game. We'll be right back.